This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football Friday! What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network Series XM 206 Football Friday indeed, live from our Quicken Loan studio. Look at that guy. He's got the red boots up to the thigh. Of course, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently here. We roll into it on a Football Friday. Obviously, a million different ways to slice Conference Championship Sunday, which we will. It is also, I mean, I got to be honest with you. If you just, you know, whether it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, if you parachuted me into my broadcasting future, all right, and I'm sitting here in a booth, in a studio, beautiful studio, with you, former NFL star, and there's a picture behind me with this guy wearing red six-inch stilettos up to his thighs and red, black, silver balloons as we get ready for the Broadway debut, I'd say, who slipped acid in my coffee? That's probably what I would be asking, but it is reality because you are an incredibly interesting guy and an incredibly curious guy. And Tiki makes his Broadway debut tonight.
I do.
Don is the character, Kinky Boots, and the world's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am. I had my full dress rehearsal. They call it a put-in yesterday. Only messed up one thing.
What'd you mess up?
I couldn't find a note. I couldn't find it. We had to do it like six or seven times. Okay. I couldn't get it.
Did you actually get it before you left?
Oh, no, I did. And I'd done it well the whole 2 weeks, 3.5 weeks that I've been rehearsing.
Yep.
And just when we did a rehearsal, I couldn't get it.
Oh, man. Were you forgetting it, or were you stumbling? What was going on?
So I think it was the first time I was on mic.
Okay.
So usually I'm standing in a theater, and it sounds hollow.
Yes.
You just scream.
Almost like tinny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I hear this tinniness, and Callum Francis, who is Lola or Simon in the performance, it gives me a line. Like, you look dull and dumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And then my response is, a woman wants a man that gives as much as he can. But I couldn't find it, right? I was, like, way off. And as soon as I started singing, I was like,
maybe because you're not a natural singer?
Well, I mean,
just a guess.
But I've been singing it for three months.
I just couldn't find it.
But so, Jason, who does the he's the pianist in the orchestra, he's like, I think you're listening to Callum, and you're trying to feed off of Callum with Callum's tone.
Okay.
Ignore him.
Okay.
And just do and listen to me. And
all
so
right.
He's like, hear the
so
piano.
So he's your Tom Coughlin.
Yeah. Well, he's saying, hear the piano. He's like, hear the piano. Don't listen to Callum.
Okay.
And so once he did that, I finally got it.
All right.
But other than that, it was awesome.
We're pumped for you, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's an institution. Broadway's an institution
That's right.
in New York. And
that's right.
I'm getting an opportunity. And as I sent my boys a note this morning, letting them know that I was debuting tonight, I was like, look, this is just, it's not a lesson, but I'm just telling you, never be afraid to try something.
No, right? that's the best message you can give your kids right there.
And AJ wrote me back, and AJ, you know AJ, because AJ won the championship. He's cocky as hell.
Oh, yeah.
So he sent me the Ricky Bobby the quote. He's like, Dad, you're the best there is, plain and simple. You wake up in the morning and you know what, excellence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, have that kind of attitude.
I love it. We wish you the best, man.
Thank you, brother.
It seems like social media is a buzz. I was following some of the stuff earlier. Broadway's really looking forward to it. And again, listen, I mean, this is not what you do by trade. I have full confidence you will get it right. And you will do well. And
this failure is not an option.
Failure is not an option. There's no net tonight, though. You're going out there walking a tightrope. Now people got paying customers here. March 3rd is the 3rd.
Okay. Is the last date. So for 6.5 weeks, I'll be done on Kinky Boots.
You embark on something incredibly unique. Good luck, brother.
Appreciate you.
Knock him out. Go break a leg. No doubt about it.
Not literally.
Or go break a stiletto. Please. I hope you. If there's a GIF floating around tonight. And you're
be still, falling and off the stairs.
Could you imagine, though? Honestly, wouldn't that be, like, as bad as that would be?
Yeah.
Would it really be that big? Like, if you're going to mess up, and I don't think you will.
Yeah, I hear
but
you.
But if you're going to mess up, just crash.
I hear you, man.
Stiletto snap, fall into somebody's lap, you know, maybe.
Fall off the front of the stage. Like, spill somebody's popcorn
like,
or whatever.
Really, really, if you're going to mess up, which you won't, then really mess up.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Good luck tonight, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Okay, football. So, obviously, it's the weekend we've all been waiting for here. A couple of rematches. Chiefs and the Pats, they played earlier in the season. You know, it's funny what I was thinking about. Both teams have played earlier in the season. The one thing, and we've kind of worked our way gradually up to this here, and we focused a lot on, and we tend to do this in our position, legacy. Early in the week, we kind of look at some of the early. Well, first, early in the week, we react to what we saw in the divisional matchup. Yep. Then we start to get a little bit of a gauge, you know, what matchup might come into play, the coaching and the unique styles and the things that we're cherry-picking. You know what I don't think we've really kicked the tires on?
What's that?
That I really think needs to be asked slash said? It's definitely a question, but I think I kind of know which way I'm leaning. Is Drew Brees, because we've kind of, we haven't really talked a lot about Drew outside of the whole legacy big picture stuff. Is Drew Brees still capable? I won't disrespect him by saying, is he still good enough? Because is he still capable of carrying the Saints if he has to? If he has to.
Yeah, well.
And I asked that. I've got numbers to support why I don't think he is, with all due respect.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your first reaction.
There's always that gamer, right, that defies numbers. If you look at trends and you look at, you know, declining statistics and circumstances surrounding, whether it's O-line or running game, whatever, none of which apply here, but just say that those things exist. There's always that intangible gamer, that certain game mentality that really good players have. Tom Brady has it. We've seen it over the years when, hey, there's no way this team is going to win. Oh, well, they're in the Super Bowl again.
No, you know when somebody has it, and you know when they don't.
Exactly. And so,
and he has it. I'm not saying he's got it.
I think Drew does. The bigger issue is I look at the Rams, because the Rams have not a ton of experience on the offensive side of the ball, being at this point and getting deep and winning championships, but defensively they do. Mm-hmm. Aqib Talib has won a championship, and when he was at Denver, Sam Shields did one. A C.J. Anderson on the offensive side of the ball, he won a championship with Denver. So there is a little bit of a experience factor that really matters here, BT. And I say this because I remember when I went to my Super Bowl in 2000, me and Greg Gamella were driving to Giant Stadium. The NFC Championship game was in the Meadowlands at Giant Stadium. We destroyed the Minnesota Vikings. But I remember driving into that game having no clue what to emotionally expect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's this going to be like? Luckily, Sean Payton had devised this great game plan and Kerry Collins threw for 300 yards in the first half, and we destroyed them. But it was there was this uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like the only person on the Saints that has that is Drew, because Drew is the only player on the Saints that has a championship. Mm-hmm. Everybody else aged out and is gone.
Yep.
And so if you're asking, can he do it? My answer is yes, because he's done it before. And
He hasn't done it in a while.
That was 2009, BT. It was a decade ago.
Which is kind of my point. I just want to throw a couple of numbers at you here. Now, by the way,
but He has done it.
And as the old adage goes, there's always one last punch for a great champion.
Yes.
And I'm by no means am I trying to create a situation where I look at Drew Brees as like crawling to the finish line like Peyton a couple of years ago. No.
Physically, he still looks close. Physically, he looks great.
He does. But the numbers, that's why I frame it. Can he carry a team, or can he carry the Rams if he has to? And
you mean the Saints?
Pardon me, the Saints. And the most recent snapshot here, Teak. Again, what does this mean? I don't know. It means that, quite frankly, they've morphed into a more well-balanced, more diverse unit. But you go back to, you know, the Falcons game, 171. Mm-hmm. This is like the last 5 weeks of the season, 171 yards. The loss of Dallas, that was an eye-opener, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had 127 yards for a touchdown and a pick. The Tampa game, December 9th, 200 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Those aren't Drew Brees numbers.
No.
Mid-December at the Panthers, 203 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. And the last regular season game, he threw the ball 40 times. He had just one touchdown against Pitt. And then, of course, last week he was good, not great, and a little wobbly at points, two touchdowns and a pick. Now, maybe they can create something that doesn't force him to come back like they came back from two touchdowns against the Eagles. Because if he's got to do that against the Rams...
No, it's not happening.
He's not doing it.
No, because the Rams are going to keep scoring. The Eagles scored on their first two possessions and didn't score yet.
Well, and it should have been on the third with the fumble.
True.
You pounce on that minimally, it's 17-0.
But still.
But yeah, no, I got
still,
you.
Still, they didn't score the rest of the game is my point. Mm-hmm. The Rams are not going to not score for 3.5 quarters.
No.
So,
I just say this because I don't know if Drew can air it out the way some fans
he threw for 4,000 yards this year.
Yeah, but take
36 TDs and five. I agree.
The last 6 weeks, that's why he plummeted from the MVP race. He went from the lead.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? To Breeze for 4 weeks to, it ain't even close, ship it to Kansas City.
Yeah, but the difference is that this offense, and maybe this is why they haven't been back in the championship in a decade or in the conversation for a decade, is because it was solely dependent upon Drew Brees, right? Drew, sorry, man, if you don't throw the ball 50 times and throw for 350 and three touchdowns, we're not winning,
mm-hmm.
period,
yep.
right? I know they have some good runners, but nothing like what they have now. They've completely shifted philosophies. We saw it with their success last year, and it continued this year. They give the ball to Alvin Kamara, even if it's dumping off to Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. They run the ball effectively. They want to run the ball effectively. And with only a couple of big-time targets in the receiving game, one of them being Alvin Kamara and the other one being Michael Thomas, obviously, it's smart for them to go that route, right, to take it off of Drew Brees. If he had to do it, could he? Yeah, I'm just not sure he could create stars out of guys that aren't stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem right now.
Okay, 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I'm going to ask a question, obviously, to all listeners. I'm going to throw this to my Tiki first. I'll answer it as well. Big picture, who's got the most on the line mm-hmm. this weekend? Who's got the most on the line? Like, you can rationalize, like, if Jared Goff comes up a little small, well, he's in the Superdome right. against Drew Brees, and he's young.
Yeah.
If Drew Brees comes up a little small, maybe you can say, you know, he's 40, and the Rams have a little more talent, depending mm-hmm. upon how the flow of the game goes. If Brady comes up small, you can say, which, by the way, nobody expects to happen, you can say they're on the road, it's 12 degrees out, yeah. he's playing against a young gunslinger. If Mahomes comes up small, he's got similar excuse to Goff, although it's going to be amplified a bit because he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Who's got the most to lose? Is it Andy Reid?
Yeah.
It's got to be
no
Andy
Reid. No doubt, BT. He was, last week he had the most. He was up there.
Yeah, no. We discussed conversation going into the divisional
right?
round.
So it's definitely Andy Reid because he's slayed the demon.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten a win in the postseason, in the divisional round. He's in the AFC championship game. He's got much more talent. Especially if you just start at the quarterback, than he's ever had. Their skill position players are phenomenal. Right? Their defense is actually playing pretty good for the first time in forever. And right now, they're home. I know the weather sucks, and it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. The storm that's sweeping through the country is going to nail them on Sunday, and it's a late game. So even though the high is going to be, whatever, 12, it's likely to be like 8.
640 Eastern.
640 Eastern. It's
CBS.
Probably going to be 8 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, CBS colleagues. I feel bad
hey,
for you
listen,
all.
I think they'll suck it up and when the rating gets like a
true.
Whatever share it's going to get. It's going to go through the roof.
True, but still, it's going to suck. But Andy Reid still got to find a way to win that game because this is the game that not only does he need to win it for himself and his legacy and to get to another Super Bowl, because he's been to 1-4 obviously with the Philadelphia Eagles that he lost, but to get to another Super Bowl and potentially win. But people want to see the Pats knocked off, man. It's almost like Andy Reid and this Chiefs team is holding the ire of the rest of the football world. Like, just not get rid of them, man. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what
like
you mean.
That, even if you're not a fan.
I think everybody is a Chiefs fan this week outside
exactly
of devout Patriots
That's
fans.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Unless maybe, if you're a Raiders fan, fan, you don't care who wins because you got the Tuck game.
Yeah.
And now you got the Chiefs and you're hated long-standing rivals. See, there's a few exceptions, but in large part, the football community is desperately, and I'm on bended knee as well, praying up to the football high heavens. No disrespect, Pats, because I do respect your incredible 20-year run.
But it's been time.
I don't want to see it anymore. The Chiefs have to find a way to win this game. I was going to say I can't go to Atlanta and do shit. Of course, I have to go. But I really don't want to be in Atlanta talking about the Pats for another week. I really don't want to do that.
Again.
Again.
Yes.
Again. I want a fresh story. I've said this all week. I just want something Listen, greatness, and as you add layers to greatness, that's certainly interesting in itself, of course. I'm not trying to shortchange Brady. If we're there, we'll do it the right way. Mm-hmm. But new is generally a bit more interesting.
Agreed.
Just untapped storylines, different directions for the conversation. With Brady and Belichick, it's the same conversation. Because he's not really fighting against anybody else at this point.
You're right.
It's just himself.
He's already the king.
Oh, my God. All right. So, coming up, I want to actually play something from Belichick, from Brady, from Sean McVay, and from Drew Brees. We'll tell you what our poll question is, and we'll give you a chance to jump in and ask the question or answer the question, who's got the most on the line this weekend? And then you and I could get back to this as well. The one thing that the Pats haven't really done much, and I wonder if it's effective or it might actually have a little reverse psychology, they have really embraced this underdog role.
Yeah.
We've never seen them do it like this.
You're right.
They are straight on saying, come on.
You're right.
We are the underdogs. Are we buying it, and will it work? We'll get to that coming up right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play and knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines, making a plan and executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in a position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com, then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping cost, returns are always easy, and you can pick it up when it's convenient for you. You know what you want will be there when you get there, so it saves you time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins and ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play and shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Home, motors, renters, motorcycle insurance, get it all, geico.com. All right, so we'll get these calls in a minute. Here's the poll question, short and sweet. I'm going to have an opinion on this. Go vote on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Entering Championship Sunday, the guys want to know which quarterback matchup creates the most compelling Super Bowl backdrop. Brady Breeze, Mahomes Breeze, Brady Goff, Mahomes Goff. Right now, you've got 43% Brady Breeze, 37% Mahomes Breeze, and no offense to the Goff family, 2% Brady Goff. And I'm sure that the Goff aspect of that is dragging it down. Mahomes Goff has 18%. Here's my question for you, Teak.
Yep.
All right. So we saw the Chiefs and the Pats at Foxborough in week 6, 43-40, Pats win.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw the Rams and the Saints at the Superdome a couple of weeks after that. Saints looked really good. That was the first real jolt. We're like, wow, the Rams, oof, okay, that was a performance that made us take a different stock
yes.
of the NFL and how we viewed it at that point. Of the four teams, and from those 2 points of the season, which team has changed the most, positively or negatively?
That's interesting. I think it's probably the Rams, to be honest with you, BT.
With the running attack?
Well, not only that, because they've added depth to their running game with C.J. Anderson, who has Super Bowl experience, as we were just talking about, with the Denver Broncos. And he's, even though he's 5'8 and 250, he gets it done. But more important, remember that early game? Marcus Peters was hurt, as was Aqib Talib. And so their defense, which they spent a ton of money on this offseason with those two guys that we just mentioned, and also Ndamukong Suh, was maligned, right? And so it's different and it's better now because those guys are back, and I think they're playing better. So I'd say the Rams, because they're not winning with, you know, the explosive offense and the misdirection and all that other
mm-hmm.
gimmicky stuff and this mm-hmm. this explosive 300, 400-yard passing games. We're going to put up 34 points. They're winning old school. They're running the football for 220-something yards, 70 yards like they did last week.
Yeah, it was almost, almost 300.
Yeah, 273 I think they ran for last week and played good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Rams have changed their style, which is probably better for them, even though they might have to refine themselves against the Saints if they want to keep up and score enough points to win.
See, it's funny because you could answer that one of two ways.
Yeah.
Stylistically, or which team just maybe isn't as good for whatever reason. And if I answer it that way, my answer would be the Saints. Mm. That offensive line's not the same.
No.
I mean, Andrus Peat, first of all, it was revealed he had a hand surgery.
Yep.
And he's going up against some big boys this weekend. Yep. He got called for 4 penalties, 2 holds, a couple of false starts. I am very worried about, you know, and part of it ties into how well now the Rams, the force they're playing with up front, Sue seems motivated. Donald's always been great. I don't think that Saints offensive line is nearly even close to what it was for the first and third, you know, for a little more than third of the season.
No, I think you're right.
It's kind of going the wrong way.
Yeah, of course, because look where they were winning with. I mean, there was a game that they won pretty comfortably where Drew Brees threw for 120 yards and no touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't like he was stymied. It was, Alvin Kamara is going bonkers and Ingram's going bonkers as well. He doesn't need to throw for, you know, 200 or 300 yards in order for them to win. I don't think they could do that right now. I don't think they could win just by running the ball, even though they did run well last weekend. I don't think they could win just by doing that. It took some big plays in the pass game last week. Really, Michael Thomas going for 171 yards and a touchdown. If they had to just air it out, I think that would be – it would be dangerous because they haven't had to do it all consistently all year. But if they had to rely on their run game, that would also be dangerous. The Saints are vulnerable. They're the mm-hmm. most vulnerable team, I think, this weekend, especially because they're home and there might be this, like, comfort that comes back to bite you sometimes when you're at home.
Well, you know, if there was any comfort, that should be gone because the Eagles, you can make a lot of cases mm-hmm. that they should have won that game.
Of course.
You know, as great as the Superdome atmosphere is, and the one thing about that building – when it's at its peak, it's impossible to describe
because it's so loud.
But when
and it's old, and so it feels like
yeah.
It's renovated.
Yeah, they've done a nice job with the renovation. But no, there's no doubt it's got the old acoustics, which mm-hmm. actually work.
Agreed.
A lot of the modern stadiums, it just goes into the ether, and you don't really get a sense of it just doesn't pop the way it used to. I think that it can sometimes be a disadvantage though because. When, especially at a place like that is such an asset historically, when things aren't going well, and I've said this before, whether it's a wild card game and you're at home mm-hmm. and suddenly you're down 4-1, gets really quiet, it becomes heavy for the home team.
I hear you.
And if the Eagles were a little more buttoned up when it was heavy for the Saints during that 14-0 lead, and it could have been more if they would have pounced on that fumble, we're not talking about the Saints now. We're talking about the Eagles again.
You're right.
We're riding the Nick Foles, you know, train. You know, Superman's cape still. So I don't want to say the Saints really that good? You're playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. You're good.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm going to ask the question: are they that good?
I don't think they're as good as they were. But it does. So football's such a game of who can stay healthy the longest.
The Rams don't have anybody on the injury report.
That's exactly where I was
going.
Is
that amazing?
It's unreal. It's almost like that's got to be a lie.
Not a single player. Nobody with a hamstring, a groin, a forearm, a finger.
Nothing.
Concussion protocol. Zip.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. It almost feels improbable.
It's like OTAs.
Yeah. It feels improbable. It's like, how is that possible?
I've never seen this. I mean,
17 weeks and a playoff game.
Yep.
And nobody's hurt.
I've never seen that.
Me either.
Now, we don't know how truly healthy Todd Gurley is, mm-hmm. but he's certainly healthy enough to carry it and, you know, go over 100 yards.
And even if he's not, C.J. Anderson is there.
I know. Frank's in Las Vegas, and Frank is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Frank.
Guys, thank you very much. But I got to tell you, who's got the most pressure on them Sunday? It's the L.A. Rams, and it's simple. Here's why. The Rams, granted, they were the first pro team in L.A. They started in 1946, but they left. They're still kind of the new kid in town. But you look at KC, the Patriots, and the Saints, they have a built-in fan base. So it's very, very important for this Ram team to get to the Super Bowl and start rebuilding. I've been a Ram fan my whole life, but rebuilding with the younger people in Southern California. Because, hey, don't
you mean rebuilding a fan base?
Totally, guys. And don't forget 2020, and I just passed it yesterday. Don't forget the Raiders will be in Las Vegas, and the Raiders have a big market in L.A., so I think the Rams have a lot of pressure to win, win now, win big, and, you know, for their future.
Here's the one difference, though, Frank, and that's an interesting way of looking at it. I didn't really incorporate the fan.
I didn't either, but he's right.
Yeah, but the players won't feel that. They won't. You think they're in trouble? I mean, listen, there's no way they're charging out of the tunnel on Sunday. Hey, we got to win this to galvanize the Rams fans so we can convert them.
No, they're not. They're not. But
coaches might feel a little extra pressure. An aging quarterback who hasn't won a championship might, mm-hmm. or a young pup who's never been on the stage like Mahomes and God, they might. But collectively, for the fans, they're not going to feel
but
that.
But there's a reason that the Rams organization, the GM, went after all of these free agents in this offseason. Right? They knew that they had a good product as it was, and they needed to make it better because they need to win a championship. I mean, they're buying their way into the opportunity to win a championship because they know how important it is, right? Winning a championship in your early stages of a new market is enormous, right? You want people to pay attention? Win a Super Bowl.
But what if they lose on – and I hear you. I'm not going to argue with something that makes sense.
It's still going to be exciting, but
– I mean, if they're 7-1 next year and they're putting up 33, 34 points a game and they lose on Sunday, is it going to really – does it really matter?
No.
That's what I'm saying. They already got to a great point. They won 13 times.
I agree, but you're already here, so you might as well win the whole thing, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, you may as well finish the dance. I understand that, but – boy, I love those helmets, too. What unis are they wearing on Sunday?
That's
Mike, do you
question.
Know? Well, yeah, did you see the unis?
They usually announce it a couple days before.
The Twitter accounts for each team usually does a pretty good job with that. Act, you see what uniforms they're rocking?
I have not.
Boy, if I'm the Saints, I'm wearing all black. Those things are dope. I love those.
No throwbacks? Whites?
I like. You know what?
Those are good looks.
Even the mustard ones, like a lot of people. I think every single uniform combination for the Saints are fresh.
Yeah.
I like every single one of them. The Rams, the blue and the yellow from the 70s, I kind of like the white helmet, the blue with the white horns instead. I don't know if I love the Rams unis as much, but those Saints uniforms are awesome.
It's weird because sometimes the Rams uniforms only look good if it's a sunny day in California.
I know what you mean. Sometimes it just blends in. You got the palm trees. I know
exactly.
what you mean. It's like they need
it. Feels right.
It's like the proper wine with the right food. It's got to complement. The weather has to complement the uniforms. I don't disagree with that. That's a very odd thing to say, but I know exactly what you mean. All right, coming up next, we got Jason Lock and Fora. We'll talk to Jay about all the storylines. All right, so Jason has been with us the entire season. He's been outstanding. And we'll do that after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
All right.
We're going to get with our buddy Jason Lock and Fora. Set up conference championship Sunday. Everything you need to know. Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. First up, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you would like. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the most compelling ones. So dig down deep, make it good. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. As we get to the final steps of a long, twisting, winding, wonderful, amazing NFL season, and our next guest been here every step of the way, Jason Lock and Fora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing great. I asked Tiki this question. I want to throw it by you. Let's start here. So Chiefs-Pats in Week 6, the Rams-Saints in Week 9. Of the four teams, since those moments that I referenced, Week 6 and Week 9, which team has changed the most? And you could go either positively or negatively.
Huh. Wow. I'm just inclined to say the Patriots because they just do whatever. Like, they change every week. You know what I mean? They're a finesse team one week. They're a power team the next. They don't blitz at all. They blitz every down. they just continually reinvent themselves. I think if you go back to that point in the season, you know, Sonny Michel had not played a whole lot of football for them. He missed games at the beginning of the year. You know, was getting into shape and then was kind of in and out of the lineup for a few weeks. The run game has certainly evolved. You know, at that point, I think people were like, oh, Josh Gordon might become a big part of this team. You know, that never really happened. And now he's gone. I think Gronk and Tom Brady may be a little healthier than they were at certain points around the midpoint of the season and into the end of the season. I guess I'm sort of inclined to go with them. They're so healthy right now. The bye, you know, came obviously at a great time for them, and they're shapeshifters by design.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd go Pats.
You know, Jay, I'm not a big believer in you know, when, and it's kind of a lazy way of explaining success or even failure. Well, you know, a team turned it on and off, and maybe certain players could do that, but collectively I think it's really tough to do that at this level. However, you know, I do believe there's something to be said for maybe leaving a little something in the creative tank. Playing, you know, a bit of a benign brand of football, not divulging too much. Do you think that the Pats straddle that line on purpose where they knew that they could win this division pretty much just by showing up, and now it's money time, and they amp it up a little bit. Do you think that they can actually do that?
I do. I think they do, you know? Man. We saw them do it with the offensive line gimmick thing they were running on the Ravens a few years ago. That totally befuddled them, you know, all the tackle eligibles and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And eventually they changed the rule. I think they've certainly held trick plays back in the past and saved them for this time of year. I think they've saved special teams quirks for when, you know, emergency break glass now, like, you know, we're empty in the tank. I absolutely do. I'm sure there's things that they put on tape against the Chiefs, not a lot, but a play or two, just because there's, you know, Belichick and McDaniels and Flores are thinking, okay, they're going to see that alignment. You know what I mean? It's going to look like this play that from week six, but we got a completely different, you know, we're doing something completely different out of it. I do think there's no substitute for mind power in this league, and they've got no shortage of it there. Smart players, smart coaches, continuity. They demand a lot out of these players, and they deliver. And I'm sure there's some things they probably haven't worked on a whole lot since the summer that showed up in practice a bunch this week. Now, whether it manifests itself in the game or not, you never quite know because of down distance game situations, whatever. But I don't think that's giving them too much credit. I think there's something to that. Like, I'm looking at Cordarrelle Patterson. I know they're all healthy on offense now. He only touched the ball twice in that first game. I'm betting he touches the ball more than twice in this one.
Yeah, you're probably right. Speaking, you talk about coaches there in preparation, and this is a little bit of an aside from the championship game. What kind of head coach do you think Brian Flores is going to be? Because it seems like that is maybe a done deal down in Miami. Just some stories coming out about him. He grew up here in Brooklyn, probably prep, and then the Boston College, and he's got this intensity about him, and it's like he was groomed for this job. What's he going to be like as a head coach?
You know, I think it's kind of like quarterbacks, man. I think you have to look at the totality of everything around him, and, you know, it takes players, it takes ownership, you know, everybody being in lockstep, and they've had issues with that in Miami really forever. But I think, you know, you look at the GM there, Chris Greer, and him and his dad have strong ties to that Patriots organization going way back to even before Belichick was there. And I think that they will be of one mind and how they approach some things there, probably in ways that they haven't had that synergy between football operations and the coaching staff in the past. I think Stephen Ross can become a good owner. It hasn't manifested itself yet, but I think with the right people, he can be proven to be a pretty good NFL owner. But boy, they got to figure out the quarterback. I mean, if they don't find a quarterback, we're never going to know how good of a coach he is in Miami. Because it's, you know what I mean? It's not, if you can be the best coach in the world in this league, if you're not getting at least above average play out of your quarterback, you don't have a chance. And they're going to have to figure that out, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater and somebody in the draft, whether it's an older guy like Flacco or Foles as a Band-Aid for a year or two to get to maybe a deeper draft class. I'm assuming those are going to be some of the immediate conversations between, you know, the GM and the coach down there once Flores is finished coaching. But I think his demeanor, there's a lot about him that I think portends good things, but nobody's won in Miami. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's won there. So it's hard for me to be like, oh yeah, that's going to be a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So to Jason Lock and Four, of course, NFL Insider, CBS Sports. Jace with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, you got to go all the way back to Don Shula to find the winner down in Miami.
I mean, Saban didn't win there. You know what I mean? And he's in the conversation for the greatest coach ever. Like, just nobody's won there.
You're right. A guy who we do consider a great coach but still has to take a next step is Andy Reid. You know, how important is this game? Home game, they finally cleared that, you know, that whatever, that monkey off his back in the divisional round. But home game, weather kind of suits exactly what you would want for a home team. You know, ugly, nasty, etc. How important is this for Andy Reid?
You know, I don't think he's going anywhere for a while. He's got a really good young GM there, Brett Veach, who he works very well with. He managed not to lose anybody from his staff. Dave Tobe, his esteemed special teams coach, was interviewed for head coaching jobs in the past. You know, Eric Bieniemy impressed a lot of people, didn't get a job just yet. And he's got Mike Kafka, his quarterback's coach, who I bet you is a head coach this time a year from now. He's keeping all, you know, so he's got all that brain power there. Mahomes is a pup. Even if they lose D Ford in free agency, you know, they're positioned pretty well. I actually think it's less probably mentally and emotionally taxing for him than go back a year ago when they're hosting a very mediocre Titans team that sort of backed in, and they're up 22-10 or whatever it was. I think it was 22-10.
Yeah.
And the kid misses a field goal, and Mariota comes back down, and you know what I mean? And we all know what happened there. And at that point, they knew that Patrick Mahomes was really good. Like, they loved him. They were obviously, they were about to make that trade. But, like, I don't think anybody thought he'd be 50 touchdowns good as a rookie. So I think, you know, Andy's not in a bad spot. I think last year was probably with knowing that this is it for Alex Smith and knowing you're about to take this really big gamble and blow out a guy who was an MVP candidate for basically a rookie. I think he's all right. He's going to have other bites at this apple, you know, yeah. I think, with this quarterback.
Yeah.
In a way, though, doesn't that make it worse? Because the more bites that he gets, if he doesn't actually get to the core, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the old Tootsie Pop there, right?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. Hey, a couple of news items here. Talking to Jason Luckenfor, of course. Cam Shoulder, we know he's banged up.
Yeah.
A little nugget from new ownership here saying
I'm not going crazy with that one. You know, I mean, I think that's a young owner, you know, answering some very hypothetical questions and probably going down a road that a year or two from now, you know what I mean, when he's dealing with the media more, or at least is used to it more, he probably doesn't even entertain those. So I think when you go back and watch the full context of everything, it's basically him addressing a scenario where, well, let's say Cam still can't. Like, no one right now thinks Cam's not going to be able to throw. You know what I mean?
At
the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of addressed the hype, well, let's say he can't, then what do you do? And he's like, well, I know how hard it is to get a quarterback here, so you know what I mean? If we have to put him on ice, we'll put him on ice. But, like, they don't have medicals in that building right now that are screaming like emergency, this is, you know, dire, his season's in jeopardy. But it is a throwing shoulder, so we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think, you know, the next time that comes around, I don't know that he's as willing to go down that road.
He's got to, you know, listen, there's something to be said for getting reps, not just under center as a quarterback, getting reps in terms of the microphone. I hear you. You got to learn how to take those and answer them in a more of a benign way so you don't create these headlines.
Well, yeah, because now the fan base starts freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, of course.
And he is a good dude, and you know what I mean? You want to be as forthcoming to a point. But when you start dealing in hypotheticals like that involve medicals, and then people, you know, people just see those quotes. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, as LeVar would say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. You mentioned Flacco before, and I read some good articles this week on CBSSports.com about Brissett. And it's funny, you know, we really haven't thrust his name into the pack of quarterbacks, the Foles and the Flaccos and the Tannehills who could be available as a 1 or 2 year Band-Aid, stopgap, whatever. Brissett, I like him. Tiki likes him. A lot of strong action on the market. How do you think he's viewed?
I think that Chris Ballard is being smart how he's handling this. The Giants, the Colts general manager. He that kid. You know, he's played quarterback in this league and he's won games. And even that season, the entire season he played where the team stunk, he acquitted himself fairly well. And there's a lot of smart football people who believe that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I would be more inclined to roll the dice on him than even a Foles just because of the potential upside. Mm. I would rather give up, for me, especially if I'm a team like, the team that's going to get Foles is probably Jacksonville. They're not who they think they are. But if they were who I think they were, I'd be going for a younger quarterback like Brissett and starting the reboot now.
Yeah.
I think he'll hold out for – I don't think he'll take less than a high two for him. I know talking to Ballard about Brissett last summer at training camp, he wasn't going to take less than a one for him then. You know, we'll see how these kids look at Pro Day and the Combine and everything else, but he and Bridgewater are the only sort of young options out there already established in the league who are attractive to people. I think they're in a pretty good spot with a trade, and he could also be dealt in season. That he's also the perfect guy who, if, you know, heaven forbid, there's a, you know, the year the Eagles lost, you know, Sam, the Bradford trade win. You know what I mean? They ended up playing Wentz, and we're going to deal Bradford because Teddy went down. I mean, if something like that happens and OTAs or you know, a contending team loses their quarterback in late summer, you're going to get value for them.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, we only have about a minute here, but Scott Linehan has just been reported as his parting ways with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Anything bigger to this that we should know about?
I mean, this was somebody who really was – he was on coaching life support a couple different times in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I was hearing rumblings out of that building that the players were eager for change. and that Jerry was reaching a point where he was about to say to Jason Garrett what we eventually heard ownership say to Ron Rivera and ownership say to Dan Quinn. That's your side of the ball. You go coach it. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't good enough. Wow. Now, they turned it around late in the season, didn't make it, you know, didn't do anything, obviously, in season. But there's long been a sentiment there that some new ideas and, you know, some new things need to be brought to the table on offense. And just because Jason Garrett said, I want him back, means nothing, because as we know, it's Jerry and Stephen Jones who are making, you know, all the real calls in that organization. And I'm guessing during exit interviews with players, they probably heard some things too that made them say, you know what, we got it. We got to try something different here to bring more out of this group. And they're about to pay all those dudes. You know what I mean? It's not as cute just kind of scratching by once the quarterback's making 25 and once the wide receiver's making 18 and once the running back's making 15. You should be doing more on offense.
Jay, awesome. I know you're not with us on Tops this week, right? But we'll get you on the radio next week, and we'll go from there. We'll see you in Atlanta. Awesome, buddy.
Look forward to it, buddy. Thank you.
Take
care,
Jason.
Jay. Great job. Great job all season. Jason Lockenfora.
That's interesting, though, that the Jason Garrett, is he going to start calling plays? I mean, I don't know if that's the right thing to do for the Dallas Cowboys.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
We got to kick that around a little bit. There's more there. I don't disagree. And by the way, which team's going to benefit the most from the cold, the Pats or the Chiefs?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.